So Star News reporters Hannah and Judy are here with some students who went down to the London protests last week demonstrating against the rise in tuition fees and cuts in higher education funding. So I'm with Greg, Lydis, Chloe, Callum and also the Student Association, Patrick. So first of all, why did you feel so impassioned to go down and protest?
Well, I can start off from last year where we only had four or five students from St Andrews who went down on the Abertay buses to the demonstration. I think we wanted to show that St Andrews students had changed in their activism and their approach to national politics, and the Student Association had changed their view as well. So it was the first time we'd put on a bus, a free bus, for a national demonstration in the last number of years, at least since I've been a student here. And we also offered spaces to a small number of students from other universities in Scotland. So I think it was a really good point to go from being the most underrepresented Scottish uni at a national demonstration to being the second most represented, and that's something we should be proud of.
I went down because I love feeling part of something, and there's always so many people, and it's about something that's maybe not a very happy topic, but they're always so much fun. I think that's part of the reason why I love it.
Well, I went down for two reasons. One, because it was a free trip to and back from London. The second reason was to challenge a system where education is artificially controlled by one government and and people in the nominally private sector at the expense of everyone else, which makes education more expensive, more bureaucratic, and less valuable to people. And to express that there are alternative approaches to education than what this and previous governments have taken, and that those alternatives should be pursued rather than simply attempting to drastically reduce the amount of services that people take from the state without concurrently reducing the taxes that they're forced to pay.
Well, I went down because, yes, I agree with what you were saying. I think the codification of education is wrong. I think that it is unfair on people from poorer backgrounds to not be able to go to universities, deterring people from not going to universities. Scottish universities are the most expensive in the country right now, and that is incredibly unfair. And this has effects on free education in Scotland. And as an international student, I also feel like the cuts are really unfair because I pay a lot of money to go to university, and I just really want a really well-funded course. And I don't think that's what's happening right now.
Do you think that in having last year's events in mind, the authorities went a bit overboard with the number of policemen that were present?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the demonstration itself was like a giant kettle. That's what a lot of people have been saying, which we didn't really notice when you were inside of it. When you saw it on TV after, there was the lines of police in front of you, the lines of police behind, not being able to go on any alternative routes or to go onto another street or to go onto Trafalgar Square, or else you might be arrested and all the rest of it. And the threat of rubber bullets as well, which was just, you know, egging things on. It was just ridiculous and created quite an intimidating atmosphere for students. And I think although there wasn't any incidents, or I think there were individual incidents of police sort of repression, it wasn't sort of wholesale, but there was a threat of that. There was police horses there, there was police dogs. There was this idea that, you know, if you take a wrong turn here, the police won't be afraid to attack you. And I think that's a horrible message to send out to 16, 17, 18 year olds who are, you know, some of them maybe going on their first march as well.
Me and my girlfriend briefly left the march to go and get chips, and as we were leaving, a police guy grabbed us and said, if you leave this official route, you are liable to be arrested.
Oh my God.
And when we were going to get food, it was like we continued anyway, which held up signs down so they couldn't arrest us. And we were walking past Trafalgar Square and we saw all the police basically grabbing the protesters. And the police presence was way too much.
I've been on so many of the student marches. I missed one last year. And that the one this week, although I loved it, it was by far the most controlled. And it just it was so over. It was just bizarre. They never used to be like that. When we went on all the Iraq war marches in 2003 and 2004, there was practically no police presence at all, and that was for 2 million people in London, and now they've got 4,000 police out for practically the same number of students. It's like 1-to-2 ratio for police and students. It's bizarre. And also kind of unacceptable. We're allowed to walk down the street in London and say that we are not okay with what the government's doing.
I mean, there were some incidents where you saw the police running in and grabbing, undercover police running in there and grabbing people in the demonstration. Really thugs, you know, running in there and doing it without a uniform. And I think what the other thing, like Callum said, they introduced on the day of the march new regulations saying that if you did go off from the official route of the march, you could be arrested for that. So I mean, what kind of state are we living in where if you go off an official route to go and get chips, then you could be arrested.
It's not just about going to get chips.
That's the main point.
on a lot of other marches that I've been on, it's very normal for you to start a march altogether, and then for people who have their own agendas or like a particular opinion to go off, say to the Egyptian embassy or to a different university, and like so it would split, and that was really normal and very accepted. And so the fact that they suddenly decided that you literally have to follow the same thing and all end up at the same place is very new.
This year, alongside the big police presence, they also changed the route compared with last year, so it didn't go past Parliament and it didn't go along Whitehall. Do you think that affected the atmosphere very much?
That was an NUS decision, because they decided that because there have been so many student marches and it's always been the same route, they'd go to the financial district instead, and it was also right next to St Paul's, which meant that everyone could then go down there if they wanted to.
They couldn't.
Yeah,
sort of along the lines of policing, the police had basically erected roadblocks along pretty much any street that you could use to get from the march to St. Paul's, and anyone that the police had a honest held belief was a protester, they wouldn't allow to pass these streets. And like when asking like when the streets would be open again, if there was any other way to get to St. Paul's, the police would just say no, I don't know, or I don't know, or go some other way. So being told where you can and cannot go, and being told that you're a threat to the public order merely because you participated in a protest was annoying and a bit insulting as well.
But I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame how in the media as well it was just reported as, you know, as the debate is, will there or won't there be violence at this? And if there's not, we won't have it as a weird news story. And, you know, why aren't we reporting the fact that a demonstration that the NUS didn't mobilise for, we've still managed to get 10,000 people onto the streets travelling down from Scotland and all over the rest of the UK. Is that not a new story of itself, or do they have to fetishise violence in order for it to become the number one story? And I think that's clearly not what it was about. You know, some people got involved in Millbank before other people at different demos get involved in occupations. You know, there's clearly different methods involved, but the main story is that there's so many conscious young people who are out there to defend their education and nobody's listening to them.
So back in St Andrews itself, as we're talking, there's one of the Occupy 36 demonstrations going on outside, just in the quad here, and this is the third one, I'm correct in thinking. So a couple of you guys are involved with that. So how have you been finding the response now, it's the third time round?
Really good. We've chosen to do it today because it's the last open day for prospective students in St Andrews, and we've had a fair few parents come over to ask about it, and a couple of the ambassadors have been coming to speak to us when they're not, showing people around and saying it's been really good and positive, and people have been asking about the fee changes and what that means and how they can get bursaries and stuff, and that was the idea, to be really visible and get people asking the questions and finding out about it. So from that point of view, it's gone really well.
Okay, seeing that the current £9,000 per year of fees put St Andrews in the same league as Oxford and Cambridge, the university is clearly not doing anything to dispel the stereotype that everyone in St Andrews is just posh and rich. How can the union try and combat this stereotype, which is clearly not true in my opinion?
I mean, the issue about Oxford and Cambridge as well is that we've actually surpassed them in terms of the fees that we're charging for the rest of UK students. You know, they charge £27,000, but they also have a very comprehensive bursary package. The University in St Andrews doesn't have as good a bursary package or widening access policy, and it's charging £36,000 for a degree. I think being down at the demonstration in London, that's one of the ways that we can show that the Student Association and students here don't support the university management's position on fees and the direction they're taking this university, which is our university at the end of the day. The UCU, made up of lecturers in St Andrews, doesn't support the way they're taking the university. So, and having our banner down there saying education for the masses, not just for the ruling classes from St Andrews. Some people say, "Oh, that's ironic." You know, ladies. But I actually don't think it. I don't actually think it is ironic. I think it's saying we don't agree with the political direction that the management are taking this university, because at the end of the day, it's the principal's office who are making these decisions. It's not staff and it's not students. And staff and students are the ones who are the bulk of this university.
We've heard some universities have taken the decision to lower their fees recently. Do you think this is a realistic option for St Andrews? Have you been getting that kind of feedback at all from management?
We haven't really. The issue of fees hasn't been on the table in the talks with management recently. But it's something that we warned about at the beginning. We said how embarrassing would it be as well to go for the £9,000 fees and then to have to bring them down at a later stage in terms of St Andrews. You know, it would clearly show, all right, we can't get away with charging this amount of money. I think it would be great and I think we should bring that number down. But we should have done it from the beginning on a moral and principled stance, not on, oops, we can't actually get enough students to pay this amount of money. We're going to have to lower it because it's going to have an adverse financial effect on us. If anything, as we said, we're opposed to tuition fees on principle. We're opposed to any increase. But aside from that principled stance, even the management should be able to see that going for a safer option, even if that was a lower fee at the beginning, would have been financially a more sustainable and sounder one rather than going for the £9,000 straight away when you have no idea what the knock-on effects are going to be. For example, the residences are now looking at saying there's going to be a decrease in the amount of people in occupancy in the residences as a knock-on effect of the high fees. So they're filtering that into their financial predictions for the coming year.
I think it's interesting that the management have made no effort to talk about it. We email them every time we have an occupation, and they sent someone down for the first one, but have had no meaningful discussions about it. They're not interested in what students have to say.
The recent financial statement claimed that international and American students contribute to the university's budget with about 50%, even though they only make around 30% of the student population. What's your stance on this?
I think that when you look at international students versus, you know, UK students, in terms of the fees that they pay, you know, one point you do need to bear in mind is that, well, UK students pay taxes here, so they're contributing now if they're working, they're going to be contributing later on, after as well. So that's one point. But of course we're opposed to using international students as cash cows, and when we were on the demonstration down in London, between a third and a half of students there were international students who came down with us. So they're not happy paying high fees. And we've said from the beginning that high fee culture is bad for everyone because it leaves students, Scottish students and EU students now as the only ones who are not paying above £9,000 a year. So it has a knock-on effect on that as well.
Also, the university kind of shot themselves in the foot with that because when they increased fees, they said it cost them just over £11,000 to put a student through university each year. So why are international students paying more than £11,000 if it's only £11,000? And I think that's had quite a big effect because they've turned around and said, well, we were sort of happy to pay because we thought we were paying for our education, but we now appear not to be. We're paying more than that.
We're absolutely happy at the Student Association to take up the fight of international students for lower fees as well. I mean, personally, I give 10% of my salary towards a scholarship for international students coming from the developing world, developing countries, and I'd encourage university management, who are on a lot higher salaries than myself, 20 times as much money as I'm getting in some cases, they should do something similar as well.
As an international student from America in particular, I mean, I don't come from a wealthy background, but I'm also not from a poor background, I'm sort of from a middle-class background, and like I'm from my family can afford to pay the higher fees that we pay, and one of the reasons that I'm happy to do that is because I believe, or at least believed, that I was paying above the cost of my own education in order to help subsidize the education of people from the UK who would have come from a background that wouldn't have been able to afford it. And if, you know, now the university is going to charge £9,000 a year anyways, then the result of that is, well, you know, what is it that I'm subsidizing?
I think we should avoid as well a kind of narrow parochialism in Scotland and have a much broader progressive, you know, education policy which is based on universal access to education. And it disgusts me the way that some people in government and are looking at EU students, you know, isn't it terrible that EU students get it for free, let's do as much as we can, how terrible EU law means that we have to let EU students come here for free. And I think that's something to be proud of, that Scotland offers a free education for EU students, and we can go to EU countries and be treated as if we were from those countries as well. and not something we should be trying to undermine or be ashamed of.
And do you guys have many plans for the future in terms of more demonstrations, in terms of fighting more for these people?
Well, one thing, next week there's a demonstration in Edinburgh, Are You Kidding? Demonstration by our UK Thieves, and organising to try and fill a bus to go down to that as well. It's something I've been calling for a while. That's going to be marching from the Scottish Parliament to the Scottish office, so complaining both against the SNP and against the Westminster government. But certainly I'm sure there'll be other plans as well in St Andrews. And one of the things we're looking at doing is a survey of students and saying, do they think their education is worth £9,000 as well? And we're looking at doing that starting maybe next week.
But also, like, it's worth reminding that November 23rd is like a day of action and it's national, so there will be stuff happening everywhere. And also on November 30th, there's going to be strikes. And so we're trying to get students to support lecturers striking, to make people aware of the fact that your lecturers are striking, why, and things like that. So that's a day of action as well.
There'll definitely be plans for the 30th.
Yes.
It's not that I can't tell you, it's just we don't know what they are yet. But it will also almost certainly be joint staff and students, because a lot of staff are really keen to do something as well, because it is a day of action.
Yeah, and I think what the staff have said that day as well is that it's about congratulating graduating students as well. It's not about disrupting their graduation, at least that's what they've said in St Andrews. But I'm sure they'll have the full support of those graduating students who don't like the way the way that higher education, the direction that it's moving in, and want to protect what we've got at the moment, and stop any further fee increases and cuts to our education.
So watch this space.
Yes.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice, guys.